Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle. It is Tuesday, you're here with Elliot Danker, Manisha Tank and Ryan Hwang. And it's all about rising yields and rising commodity prices.
So this is on the back of sort of a brighter outlook on the economy as well.
Yeah, reflation is a word we've been repeating.
Reflation. Technology stocks have benefited a lot, right?
Yeah, so it looks like that is turning around and people or investors are looking elsewhere for value these days. And the theme for this week seems to be economic recovery and looking at those winners post-COVID-19. So how should investors position themselves in this new scenario? We've got Vasu Menon. He's the Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Morning, Vasu. How are you doing?
Good morning, Ryan. I'm very well, thank you.
Hey, Vasu, glad to have you on. So let's set a context first. Help us to lay the ground on these rising yields. What's causing it to spike and has it been justified according to your views?
Okay, Ryan, let's just take a step back and cast your mind back to pre-COVID levels. The US 10-year Treasury yields pre-COVID in January of 2020 was about 1.9%. And then yields plunged to 0.5% amidst the economic crisis because of COVID-19. And that was in August of last year. And since then, yields have started coming up again, and they're now 1.36%. So at 1.36%, it is still below the levels that existed pre-COVID. So what's happening is yields are starting to normalize. And they're normalizing because of two factors. One, economic recovery, expectations of economic recovery because of the vaccine rollout and, you know, less stringent lockdowns. I think that's, you know, fueling expectations of economic recovery. And along with it, expectations that inflation is going to pick up. And I think inflation expectations surpassed the 2% level at the onset of this year. And that, I think, worried markets. And I think it's not about the yields going up. I mean, I think that's normal. That's a reflection of the economic recovery. I think what bothers investors in the markets is the fact that the pace of increase has been fairly rapid. So at the beginning of this year, 10-year Treasury yields were 0.9%, and now they're almost 1.4%. That's a 50 basis point move in 8 weeks. I think it's the speed of this increase in yields that is bothering investors. But otherwise, if you look at the yield levels right now, they are the levels that should persist at some stage with the economic recovery taking place, because we can't expect yields to stay as low as they were in August of last year when they hit 0.5%, because economic recovery is slowly gaining traction.
Yeah, so normalizing by the speed of those change in rates raising some concerns. Vasu, how can these rising yields hurt markets? What are the knock-on effects?
Well, the knock-on effect is it's probably going to create turbulence in the short term, as we are seeing right now. But I think if you look past the turbulence and you take a medium-term view of perhaps 12 to 18 months, I think the broader picture is one that's still positive. Now, if you cast your mind back to go back all the way to 2011, look at the S&P 500 index, look at the 10-year Treasury yields. What you see is, you know, when yields increase sharply during periods like 2013, 2016, yes, it did create turbulence in the equity markets, but the equity markets ended on a higher note that year, those years in 2013, 2016, compared to the start of the year. Along the way, there were a lot of speed bumps, but yet, you know, equity markets ended higher. So the point I'm trying to make, Ryan, is that yes, the yields are heading higher. That's going to create turbulence, but they are going higher because of the economic recovery. And I think once markets go past the worries about this yield pickup and start focusing on the broader economic recovery, I think that should still augur well for risk assets like equities.
Yeah, but so I want to talk to you about asset allocation, because traditionally, there's this approach to asset allocation, 60% in stocks, 40% in fixed income or bonds. And with bond use being so low in recent years, there were a lot of questions raised if this was actually meaningful to be invested in bonds. But now yields going up, is this a time to start re-examining the relationship and start maybe picking up bonds again? Or are we seeing more investors selling more bonds to go elsewhere?
Well, you know, you look at the performance of markets so far this year. Equity markets are up 4%, bond markets are down 2%. Now, but although bond markets, in terms of the overall market, is down 2%, if you look, you drill into the details, what you see are high-yield bonds still posting positive returns of, you know, close to 1%. So there are still bright spots within the bond space. We are positive on high-yield bonds. We think that although yields are going up, they will still stay low by historical levels. So interest rates will still stay fairly low by historical levels, and the search for yield will continue. So investors will still be putting money into high-yield bonds, bonds that give you significantly higher yield than what you get out of deposit rates, maybe even 10-year treasury yield. Just to give you an idea, global high-yield bonds are, you know, giving you yields of like, you know, 4% compared to U.S. 10-year treasury yields of 1.3%. So there's still value in the bond market. So the 60-40 allocation underpins the need for diversification. And I think that is still very, very important. Investors should not throw all the eggs in one basket, although equity markets look more promising. You know, I think once nerves settle down, I think, you know, money will still flow into certain segments of the bond markets like high yield.
Mm. Rajan Vasu Menon, he's the Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Vasu, talking about equities in that space, how should investors be positioned? Because we are seeing a bit of rotation away from growth and tech to the value stocks. What's the mix here that we should be looking at? And of course, commodity prices have been pushing up. Is that the way to go?
Well, you know, you're right. Commodity prices have done very well. I mean, if you look at the Bloomberg Commodity Index, it's up 9% this year. If you look at the Global Equity Index, it's up 4% this year. So commodities have outperformed equities. So clearly, I think there's a space for commodities in one's portfolio. Within the equity space, you highlighted earlier, you know, growth is starting to, money is starting to rotate away from growth towards value. And you're seeing that happen. Last night, NASDAQ was down 2.5%. You know, I think some nervousness about technology stocks, which represent growth. And I think that's understandable, having seen a phenomenal performance. But I have cautioned that, yes, tech may take a breather, may still see a pullback. But I think the tech story is still very intact for the next 5-10 years. If you're a long-term investor investing in mega trends, you cannot ignore technology. It's going to change the way we live our lives. But short-term, the next 6 to 12 months, you're going to see more money move into value stocks, old economy stocks, the banks, the real estate companies, that sort of things, you know, consumer plays. So you know, you'll see money gravitating from growth towards value. So last night, for example, the Dow was up, partly because, you know, financial stocks were up, although technology stocks were down. So you are starting to see some rotation already taking place.
Yeah, talking about old economy stocks, what's your take on the oil story? Because it has been a mix of factors shifting oil prices in recent quarters. You've got now the Texas deep freeze and a bit of a dispute between the OPEC Plus members. Is there now a support now between below the oil prices right now with what's happening with Texas?
Well, you know, yes, Texas, I feel, is temporary. It is not a long-term structural game changer. Yes, it's boosted oil prices, but it's more than just Texas. I think it's also because the economic recovery is gaining traction. As we talked earlier about bond yields staying higher, that's a reflection of the market saying the economic recovery is gaining traction or will gain traction in a bigger way down the road. And I think that that expectation is also going to support oil prices. So we see oil prices probably in, you know, $60, $65 range. Short-term, Texas is going to support oil prices, may even overshoot a little bit. But longer term, you know, don't forget, supply can still increase because of OPEC Plus. And OPEC Plus may increase supply if prices go up too much, and that may curb prices. So we think $60, $65 a barrel, maybe $70 a barrel maximum. But you know, clearly there's a story for energy stocks, and energy stocks have done well.
And Vasu, just a quick one on the US dollar, that weakening story. Is that still intact, and how much is that playing into the commodity story?
Well, you know, I think the U.S. dollar story is still intact. It's taking a breather now because of the rising yield. But as I said, we see yield normalizing at about 1.5%. At 1.5% is still very low by historical standards. Of course, you know, Biden is going to have a big stimulus package. That's going to fuel risk appetite. It's going to weigh on the U.S. dollar, which is seen as a safe haven. And a weaker U.S. dollar should augur well for commodity prices, Ryan, as you highlighted. So the game for commodities is clearly not over yet.
All right, I've been chatting with Vasu Menon. He's the Executive Director for Investment Strategy at OCBC Bank. Vasu, thanks for helping us to break down all the headlines today, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
My pleasure, Ryan, and have a good day.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.